The 92nd Academy Awards took place in Hollywood last night, bringing the curtain down on another eventful awards season. There were some surprises on the night, particularly Bong Joon-ho's Parasite becoming the first non-English language film to win Best Picture and the first Korean film to win an Oscar. Meanwhile, the acting awards went exactly as planned, and with me in studio to go through some of the winners and losers, although I think it's all winners in the case of Chris Wasser. You were in with us, Chris, about a month ago.
Yes.
And you made 11 predictions.
Yes.
Now, we'll kind of qualify the Parasite one in a minute.
We will.
You got all 11 right.
I did. Tomorrow, I will probably get everything
and
wrong,
11
wrong in my
wrong.
Life.
Yeah.
But
take the 11 right.
If I got everything right in my life the way I did with the Oscar nominations, I'd be doing very well indeed. But yeah, that's how it went.
Right. So Parasite, I remember at the time, and this is the one that I'm putting the slight caveat around.
Yeah.
You said in terms of both Best Picture and Best Director, you really wanted Parasite to get it, but you thought...
I thought the award was going to go to, for Best Picture, 1917, and for Best Director, Sam Mendes, for 1917. But that's only because, if you recall, a month ago, when the nominations were announced, we were talking about the lack of diversity. We were talking about the fact that, you know, there were probably too many Oscar nominations for Joker, too many for 1917, even despite the fact that I enjoyed those films. But they were very conservative choices. And I thought that's the way the Oscars is going to play out, that people were even surprised that Parasite was nominated for six in the first place. So I did say, look, 1917 is going to win, but I would like to see them. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen. And the fact that Parasite has won, it's so weird that a month later, we're talking about the fact that the Oscars has now redeemed itself slightly.
Well, let's not lose the run of ourselves on that.
Not quite, but a little bit.
Because let's just look at why Parasite, you know, because, you know, inevitably what happens with a film like this is there's so much hype around it and people go to it. In fact, I had a colleague say it to me today, went it on Saturday night and five or six went as a group, a film club, I think they are, and they said, it's very good.
But
no, it's very good. It's not a sweep the boards. It's very good.
I thought it was quite sensational. I have been a fan of Bong Joon-ho's work, earlier films including Mother and Snowpiercer, which is available to stream online. I say that because it never actually got a theatrical release here, and it seems as though we are the last country in the world to get Parasite, because this is a film that debuted at Cannes the last year. It's been, you know, in Korean cinemas, it's been in cinemas around the world for the past 8 or 9 months. It's already a box office hit. It's so strange that we are just getting it now. So by the time I actually saw it, and I've seen it twice since, by the time I saw it, I was thinking the hype around this film can't be real. It can't be as good as people are saying it is. And it really is. I mean, for me, it was a film where not a single line of dialogue was wasted, not a single shot was wasted. Just gorgeous to look at. And I mean, you reviewed it on the show there last week as your reviewers.
Just for those who haven't, we were talking about the story of a young Korean man who gets a job in a poor family, gets a job with a very rich family, and then manages to pull in the rest of his family to get other jobs in the household.
It's
about, essentially about that. Wealth versus poverty.
It is, and it's a social satire, and it starts off as a comedy, but then it develops this, it just turns into this nightmarish farce almost. And I must say, you know, not since Get Out, which was another social satire, although it would be one with very different topics involved. Not since Get Out have I found
just
it so hard.
Just remind us of Get Out when you mentioned
Get Out, Jordan Peele's Get Out, which is a social satire. You know, you had Daniel Kaluuya playing a black man who was invited home to his white girlfriend's parents for the first time.
Yes.
But I'm making the connection there, because not since that film have I found it so difficult to talk to to somebody about an Oscar-winning feature without giving anything away. Because you're talking about the fact that a family goes in, they somehow con this wealthy family, and then you have to stop for anyone who hasn't seen it. But I haven't been this caught off guard by a film in a long, long time.
Well,
so
funny enough,
it is something very special.
And if you've seen it 2 and 3 times and you're still talking about it, then something good. And I remember actually it was about a month ago, just as it was beginning to be, the previews were out there. I was sitting in a coffee shop and two young fellas came in, and one fella said to the other, they were in their 20s, I guess, I've just seen the most amazing film ever.
Right.
And he said, what's it called? And the other, he said, Parasite, will you see it? And I knew very little about the film at that point, but it really stuck with me. I thought, that's really struck a chord with that guy, whoever he was.
And I think another thing that struck a chord is that it's been such a pleasure to watch Bong Joon-ho get the recognition that he deserves, because there's been little things like he's had Sharon Choi, who is his interpreter and also a filmmaker herself. He's had her with him since the beginning. So we've seen the two of them have this lovely chemistry and this lovely relationship when they've been picking up awards. We've seen performers from every corner of Hollywood. We've seen teenagers such as Noah Jupe, the Stranger Things kids, every time they were asked on red carpets at the Screen Actors Guild Award at the Golden Globes, what's your favourite film of 2019? Parasite. So it really was this word of mouth.
Didn't Tom Hanks do something at the ceremony? Did he wanted to give the Parasite people more time to talk?
That's the thing. So all of the producers, all of the cast and crew of Parasite went up. Of course, this wasn't an Oscars year where one film took away 10 awards, but it was the year where Parasite won Best Director, Best International Film Feature, which used to be Best Foreign Language Feature, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Picture. So by the time we get to Best Picture, Jane Fonda hands out the award. All of the crew come up with Bong Joon-ho. They are just so giddy. I did shed a tear or two watching it. They are so enthusiastic about this. It's the first Korean film to do so. It's the first non-English language film to win this award. They start their speech, they finish, but Tom Hanks and everybody in the front, Charlize Theron, they just said up because they wanted the lights back on because they thought, let's this moment last longer.
Let's be clear here. This film earned its awards on its merit.
Yes.
You know, it may get a little bit, taken a couple of diversity boxes for the Oscars, but they've a long way to go to get off that particular problem.
They really do. And that was evident. Everybody who was at the Oscars last night realised this, because you did not have a host this year, but what you did have was Steve Martin and Chris Rock delivering a very entertaining monologue at the beginning, where Chris Rock was barely standing on stage 30 seconds before he mentioned the fact that, you know, well, there's only one black person nominated this year. And then you had Janelle Monáe opening with this musical performance, which tipped its hat to every film, including A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. But she even managed to get in lines like Oscar So White and the fact that she was black and queer, but that she was proud to be standing here, particularly when there's a diversity problem at the Oscars. So everyone who was at that show was very much aware of it. So it was beautiful that Parasite, a Korean film, won Best Picture. But yes, Sean, there is a lot more work to be done.
And just on that, because we can mention Best Actor now, Joaquin Phoenix, because he made such a speech at the BAFTAs. What did he do last night? It'll be on RTE2 television later tonight.
Last night he drove down too many lanes. He decided to talk about racism, vegetarianism, cows at one stage, diversity, and he also got in a touching tribute to River Phoenix. It was probably an emotional evening for him, winning his first Oscar after four wins. And he mentioned the fact as well that he hasn't been the easiest guy to work with over the years, but people have given him a second chance. He probably bit off more than he could chew. It was a bit incoherent, but as I say, an emotional night for anybody.
You mentioned Steve Martin and Chris Rock as the host. You enjoyed them.
I did, because I don't think there is a need for a host. This is the second year running that they've decided to go out without a host. For decades, they decided that they did need a host, because back in the 90s, they didn't have one year.
People needed more help.
Rob Lowe came out and did this weird musical routine at the end of the 80s, start of the 90s, where they had this parody of Snow White. And then from there on out, they said, we need a host. But last night, you had Steve Martin coming out with Chris Rock. They had this really great chemistry between them. They did this really entertaining monologue where they were able to be self-deprecating and take the mickey out of everyone without going into Ricky Gervais territory.
Yeah, and Jeff Bezos, who was in the audience?
The wealthy filmmaker at the back of the room.
So he's the Amazon guy, right? So here we go. Here they are having a bit of a go at, a bit of a laugh with him, let us say, to be generous.
Jeff Bezos is here.
Oh!
Jeff Bezos!
Wow, great actor.
He's got cash, but he writes a check to bank bounce. Jeff Bezos is so rich, he got divorced, and he's still the richest man in the world. He saw Marriage Story and thought it was a comedy. Steve, do you have anything you want to add about Mr. Bezos?
No, I like getting my packages on time.
I guess he might get a couple of free packages from Amazon now or whatever for that. Yeah, so clearly they had a good time. And so as an overall package, it worked for you as well. We'll come back to some of the specifics of the entertainment later on, but let's stay with the awards for the time being. We mentioned Joaquin Phoenix as Joker. You thought he thoroughly deserved that, despite all the controversy around it.
Despite all the controversy, it was still a fabulous performance. I think had it won Best Director, had it won Best Best Picture won an award for its screenplay. I might have been given out today. It'd be a very different story.
But you thought it deserved that.
But it was great to see Hildur Guðnadóttir, the first Icelandic artist to win an Oscar, and also the fourth woman in history to win Best Original Score for her work on Joker. I mean, that film would not have been the same without its sensational score.
And we should say, too, there was an Irish connection there. Eimear Noonan, from Galway.
Was conducting
the orchestra on the night. Yes.
The first female composer in Oscars history to perform and conduct the Oscars. So that was the wonderful Irish interest last night, because, as you know, it wasn't Saoirse Ronan's night.
Yeah, well, but if let's listen. It was Renée Zellweger's night. And let's just listen to what Renée Zellweger said. Now, well, we listen to it first.
Thank you to the Academy. Thank you for inviting me here alongside one of the most special collaborations and meaningful experiences of my life. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Cynthia, Scarlett, Charlize, Saoirse, I have to say, boy, it is an honor to be considered in your company.
And that's Renée Zellweger accepting her Oscar as Best Actress for her performance in the film Judy. She did the same thing at the BAFTAs as well. She thanked all those nominees, but particularly picked on Jessie Buckley, or not picked on her, but referenced Jessie Buckley, who starred in Judy with her. Was in Judy she was with?
She was in Judy. She played Judy Garland's PA, her long-suffering personal assistant, and also the fact that, well, it said that the two of them had a fantastic working relationship in Judy, but also that Jessie Buckley was seen in Glasgow from Wild Rose at the BAFTAs. Mm-hmm. But nice to hear Jessie Buckley get mentioned. Hopefully we'll actually see her at the Oscars one day.
And Saoirse Ronan, I mean, yes, she didn't get the Oscar, but she's entering a certain very rarefied atmosphere now. She's four nominations without a win. Some great names in that category, that type of category.
There are great names in that type of category, and I mean, she's still in her 20s. To have four nominations without a win is quite an achievement.
To have but
she is entering a category now of performers that have been nominated for four or more Oscars without a win, and unfortunately there are an awful lot of people in there. Everyone from Annette Bening to Amy Adams. Amy Adams has actually been nominated six times and has yet to win. A lot of performers have come and gone that are no longer with us. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock, for example, never won an Oscar. Peter O'Toole was nominated eight times, so he actually holds the record for the actor who's been nominated the most times.
Didn't he get a special award?
He did, the honorary Oscar, which is sort of it's a lifetime achievement of sorts, and it's almost the Academy saying, sorry, we didn't award you while you were still alive, or while you were still working at the peak of your career. So he had the honorary Oscar. Glenn Close then holds the record for an actress receiving the most nominations. Seven nominations. She should have won last year for The Wife, but was beaten by Olivia Colman without a win, and no honorary Oscar for herself yet. So hopefully Saoirse has plenty of time to win that.
Maybe we should stop saying four nominations without a win. Four nominations is a success.
If you had that in your entire career, that
I'd
would be
quite
special.
Happy. Four nominations for anything, actually, in fact. Let's move on then to Brad Pitt. Was he a bit emotional when in his acceptance speech?
He was, because one of the highlights of this award season has been watching Brad Pitt win awards for a film which he was actually the lead in, but we won't go into the politics of what the nominations involve in terms of putting actors forward for categories which they probably shouldn't be in. He was the best thing about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but what I've enjoyed seeing are his speeches. And he has admitted that he does have a couple of comedians working with him, writing his jokes, but they have been on form this year. But last night was different, because this is the award to end all awards, so he was quite emotional.
Leo, I'll ride on your coattails any day, man. The view's fantastic. And to the rest of the cast and crew, Big Bad Bob Richardson, Robert Garcia, Richie, my man Mike Moe. Hey, you know, I also want to say, you know, while we're doing all this, I think it's time we give a little love to our stunt coordinators and our stunt crews. Listen, I'm a bit gobsmacked. I'm not one to look back, but this has made me do so. And I think of my folks taking me to the drive-in to see Butch and Sundance, and loading up my car and moving out here, and Gina and Ridley giving me my first shot, to all the wonderful people I've met along the way, to stand here now. Once upon a time in Hollywood, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, he didn't have a script right. Well, maybe he did. It was a nice little neat wrap up at the end, the way he got the film title in.
There's so much history in there as well. He mentions Leonardo DiCaprio's co-star, who was also nominated for Best Actor. He mentions Gina Davis and Ridley Scott, because again, remember Brad Pitt's first on-screen performance, Thelma and Louise? Yeah. He was the cowboy who took off his shirt, and they gave him a break when no one else could. So I thought it was a lovely moment, well-deserved. Not his first Oscar. Incidentally, he actually won as a producer, sharing it for his work on 12 Years a Slave, but his first acting Oscar.
And we should mention to Marriage Story, every film that was nominated more or less got something to come home with.
It did, yeah.
Which is the unusual thing. Rather than one film sweeping the board, you had everybody got a little bit. Laura Dern won Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story.
She did, and also had the chance to thank and give a lovely message to her parents, who she said were her heroes, the fact that she actually grew up with her heroes as opposed to meeting
Bruce Dern,
and Diane Ladd, her acting parents. You're right, Sean, every film almost, it seems as
got
though
something.
Every film got something, except for Martin Scorsese. I mean, if you'd asked me 3 months ago, and I think we did have a conversation about it at one stage, if The Irishman would win any Oscars, I would have said, yes, it's going to win everything. It was nominated for 10. It came home with nothing.
But Bong Joon-ho kind of made up for that in some ways.
He did, which was a lovely, lovely moment, actually, because he dedicated his Oscar win and he quoted Martin Scorsese saying that, you know, he actually went to film school, studied Martin Scorsese's films, and never even dared to dream that he would be one day in the same category as him. And everybody in the room gave him a standing ovation. And you can see Martin Scorsese almost going, no, everyone sit down. But no, it was a lovely moment because I am a little bit heartbroken that film went home with nothing.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to one final clip before we play a piece of music. Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
This was my favourite moment of the night. One of the greatest partnerships in pop, 53 years. Bernie Taupin and Elton John finally win an award together. Not just an award, but an Oscar.
Being here with this guy, I don't even know. I don't have words for it. I mean, this is just justification for 53 years of just hammering it out and doing what we do. And so, thank you all. Charlie, Georgie, I love you. You live here.
I got to be very quick because we're going over time. Thank you to Bernie, who's been the constant thing in my life. When I was screwed up, when I was normal, he's always been there for me. David, I love you so much. Matthew Vaughn, Taron Egerton, what a performance.
And I'd say he went on for a little bit after that as well. Elton John and Bernie Taupin there from the Oscar ceremonies, which will be broadcast in full, or well, highlights from that will be broadcast tonight on RTÉ2 television, 9:35 PM. Thanks to Chris Wash for coming in with that. And let's finish with the song that won Elton and Bernie their Oscar. And off they go in their new key with I'm Going to Love Me Again from Elton John and Bernie Taupin there, the winner of the original song, wasn't it, at the Oscars last night. Chris Wasser speaking to us about those earlier.